We're continuing where we left off last week. We're looking at the letter from Paul to the church at Colossae. It's a small book. There's only four chapters. We're doing a chapter a week. Last week we looked at chapter two. And so if you've missed out, do have a little listen online so you can find out what you've missed out on. So last week we were reminded of the things that we have because we have a relationship with Christ. And the church at Colossae were looking to supplement their relationship with Jesus. They were being swayed by their culture. And in their culture, it was a bit permissive. Anything went. Everything was allowable, both in terms of behavior and in terms of religious thought. And Paul was reminding the church, that's not how it works. If you are in Christ, Jesus is enough. If you're thinking of doing something that does not remind you of Jesus, it's a big no-no, says Paul. He reminded us last week, it's about the roots that we put down that help us grow our foundations. The call to be rooted in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And we discovered three things last week, that we have fullness in Christ, we have fellowship with Christ, we have freedom through Christ. And Paul goes on to expand that thought with what consequences of that freedom look like in real life, when the rubber hits the road, when we're up close and personal to life in all its madness. What does that look like? And that's where we start today. We heard the reading earlier on. We're just doing four short verses today. There they are on the screen. Let me reread them to you because they are beautiful. And the NIV entitles it Living as Those Made Alive in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's what we'll be thinking about today. It's all been changed in the manse recently. Oh, hang on, we'll get to that in a minute. Becca has new bedroom furniture. Her former wardrobe and chest of drawers were literally held together with gaffer tape. And I got fed up of the drawers falling apart and the wardrobe getting a bit wobbly. So I decided it was time for a new wardrobe and chest of drawers. And because Paul can't put things together, Mikey Cleave did. So in order to get a new wardrobe, we had to sort out everything that was in the other wardrobe and chest of drawers. It's amazing how much can be acquired by one small person. How much can be squirreled away in a wardrobe and a chest of drawers? Things no longer needed that need to be recycled or thrown away. Things remembered that caused a bit of a walk down memory lane. And we had three piles. Things to keep, things to get rid of, things to return where they had been stolen from me or other people. Paul challenges the believers in this chapter to a bit of a spiritual spring clean. in verses 1 to 17 and in the beginning of chapter 4. But we're thinking about the truth that we see in these first four verses. And as I read those verses this week, in my strange head, it reminded me of the clear out of Becca's bedroom. And as we look at our lives in the light of these verses, we're challenged to do three things. To retain some things, to release some things, and to remember some things. You know of my love of alliteration. Here we are again, shoehorning some alliteration in. To retain some things, to release some things, and to remember some things. As I cleaned Becca's bedroom, well, that didn't work, did it? Those colours. I found several things that were important to be kept. Her Bible. Instructions for things we'd lost. Books she was reading. Parts of things that could be mended. A school uniform crumpled in a pile underneath her bed. Things that needed to be kept so we couldn't throw them away. In a spiritual sense, Paul is saying that there are a couple of precious spiritual possessions that we would do well to hang on to. And the first is about identity, knowing what Christ has done for us. The words on the screen say this: since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We talked about this last week, about how our identity is formed not by what the world says about us, about what we do, about what we earn, about what we acquire, but about Jesus and what Jesus says about us. Because those other things may end. Our jobs end. We could lose our money. But our identity in Christ stands firm. Who are you in Jesus? What has Jesus said about you? And last week, we talked about how that should form us as believers. It identifies us as his. And last week, we talked about how theologically, but bizarrely and wonderfully, we identify with the resurrection of Jesus. We identify with the burial of Jesus. His resurrection is our resurrection. His burial is our burial. His new life is our new life. And Paul is discussing our spiritual position. Because we have died with Christ, we have been set free from sin and raised to new life. And we need to keep that power of identifying who we are in Christ, keeping him as our focus, seeking what is above, to focus our thoughts on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Beautiful words, but what do they actually mean practically? What does that look like for you? For you to set your mind on Christ and things above. What does that look like when you're at work and you are surrounded by idiots? Anybody work with idiots? Nobody dare put their hand up or go, well, I do really. They're all numpties, but, you know, some of them work here, some of them are here. When tomorrow you come across an idiot, what does it mean in your relationship and your interaction with them to set your mind on Christ and on things above? What does that look like when you're at work? What does that look like when you're at home? Maybe you think your family are idiots. I do not know. What does that look like when you have bad news that you can't get your head around? What does that look like when you've got a decision to make and you don't know which way to go? What does setting your heart on things above look like in direct comparison to some of the prevailing mindsets of the day? In other words, we are to live as Jesus lived. We are to live out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives every day. We are challenged to live out our lives with genuine spiritual values and not ape the values of our world. And that's really hard. One of my favourite books, there's a thing going on Facebook where you've got to name 7 of your favourite books. And it was really hard. So one of my favourite books that I named is a really old book called In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. Has anybody read it? Anybody read it? So it's the book that the whole What Would Jesus Do? Bracelets eventually came out of. It was written in the 1800s. It's an old book. And in this fictional account, a congregation was asked by their minister not to do anything in every area of their lives without asking first, what would Jesus do? So in their personal lives, in their work lives, in whatever their feet led them, what would Jesus do? That was the spiritual challenge the minister gave the congregation. And most of the congregation failed miserably in the challenge because it was too hard. Too hard a question, what would Jesus do? Because that meant their opinions would have to change and behavior would have to change and life would look different. And the book chronicles the story of those that took the question seriously. Businessmen, newspaper owners, people who owned bars, people whose marriages changed because they answered the question, what would Jesus do in this moment? It made all the difference. That's the question. To set your heart on things above. How different your life would be if every decision, every activity, every plan, every purpose is reconsidered in the light of eternity. Would your life look any different from how it looks now? And if you say to me, yes, Louise, it would look radically different, and I go, well, that's a challenge, isn't it? If your life would look very different, what does that say about your life now? So some things need to be retained. Some things need to be released. As we cleaned up Becca's room, we came across several things that just had to go. Clothes, aged 4 to 5. Really, I don't know why they didn't get recycled when we moved here, but hey, that's life. Rubbish, things that were broken and beyond repair, endless amounts of plastic tat. Things that had to go. The charity shop were very grateful. Some things were retained and some things were good to be released. In our spiritual lives, the same is true. Some things in our lives have got to be let go of. There are some things that try to attach themselves to our lives that are just plain rubbish. They don't need to be recycled, they need to be got rid of. And Paul says in verse 2, we are to focus our minds on heavenly thoughts. And while we do that, we're to avoid being caught up in all the things that swamp our minds and hinder our walk and take our focus from where they need to be. And I wonder what that is for you. And I was thinking, what is that for me? What is it that takes my thoughts away? What is it that hinders my walk with Jesus? And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to confess before you what it is. You will be shocked. It's not Gary Barlow. Eric, thank you. I suspect this may be your distraction, some of you as well. It is the prevailing sin of our generation. And you're all thinking, what is she going to say? Mike's looking at me really worried. Busyness. Any of you here too busy? I am looking at the people. I know some of you are. Corrie Ten Boom once said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Her logic is sound. Sin and busyness have the same effect. They cut off our connection to God, to other people, and even to our own souls. Many of us are just too busy to have emotionally healthy and spiritually rich and vibrant lives. That's my distraction. I wonder what yours is. And Paul is wanting the church to put down deep roots, so to avoid false teaching, so to keep on learning and growing, and to be freed from sin, being reminded of the risen life we have in Christ. So, something to be retained, something to be released, and something to be remembered. As we cleared up Becca's room, we found all sorts of things that took me on a memory lane trip. That's why it took way too long to actually clear out the room, because I'd go, oh, look at this, a letter to the Tooth Fairy. Oh, an epic letter, two sides of A4, with so many questions about what happens to the teeth. Oh, she's looking embarrassed. I was hoping she couldn't hear, because we have an agreement that if I mention her in a sermon, I've got to pay her. Oh dear. things that we found that took us on a memory lane trip. Things from primary school. Words that were written over her on a baptism day. Holiday memories. And photographs, so much stuff. Things that made me stop and remember the journey we'd been on as a family and say thank you. And those last two verses on our screen, which I'll remind you of. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Things to remember. There has been a death. Jesus died. And we died to sin with him. Do you remember that you have been crucified with Christ? Do you remember that God, what God has done for you on the cross in Jesus Christ? As we said last week, there has been a debt paid. We talked last week about how our debt is paid, it's nailed to the cross, and Jesus literally says, it is finished, or it is paid in full. We have a new life hidden in Christ. And there's a dream. Paul closes these four short verses by reminding us that this world is not all that there is. This hurried and harassed and hard place is not all that there is. Thank God. This week we said goodbye to Geraldine. Yesterday, baby Evie died. Both terribly sad deaths. If that were all that there is, how rubbish that would be. How hard, even harder, to get our heads round that. I do not know, genuinely, how people grieve without Jesus. Because what is the point? I don't know much in life. I have a very simple faith, but I do know this. This life is not all that there is. I am confident in the promises of Scripture, in what is to come. I don't know what that will look like, but I know it will happen. I know that Geraldine is living those promises now. I know that baby Evie is living those promises now. Whew. That both of them are completely healed. Geraldine's memory is restored. Baby Evie's heart is healthy. And she's singing at the top of her little lungs. And Jesus is with them both. In these hard days, sometimes we need to cling on to the hope of heaven. Not to wish our life here away, but to remember that that is our destination. So do you know that that's where you're heading? Scripture says that Jesus is singularly the only way to heaven. That it is through him that we gain access to the Father and all the Father has promised. So do you know Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour? Have you said your yes to him? Perhaps you did that years ago. Perhaps you need to reaffirm that for yourself afresh this morning. Perhaps you need to say yes for the first time today. Do you know that God prepares a mansion in heaven with beautiful rooms for all who are in Christ, who are hidden in Christ? So my question to you is, do you know that yours is prepared? or do you just hope? So, are there some things in your life that need to be retained? Does your focus need to be readjusted? Are there some things in your life that need to be released? What do you need to let go of that is not healthy for you at the moment? Get rid of it. Get rid. What do you need to remember? Do you need to take a trip down memory lane and nail a few things down today? Let us remember that our hope is not in this world. It is in Jesus and what is to come. Amen? So let us fix our eyes and our thoughts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for heaven and the hope that we have. We thank you that you prepare a room for those who are hidden in Christ, and that you welcome us until that day when we meet you face to face and all of heaven rejoices, until that day when we are in your very presence. Would you ignite in us the hope of heaven? Would you help us keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, to keep our minds on things above? Would you help us retain what we need to, release what is unhelpful in our lives, and to remember all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.